doing it real big.
You ain't got you this ain't heat got in your Serato.
Let's get ready to rumble.
My name is D-Nice.
Listen to live coverage of the Oakwood University Ambassadors men's basketball team this fall, exclusively on Lance Day Plus, featuring all of the members of the Ticket, Al Johnson, Ian Alexis, Carlin the Great, and of course, yours truly on the play-by-play.
Yeah. Welcome to the Mix Show Madness. It's your boy DJ Rampage. I'm deep in my crates, playing classics. Know who I be. DJ Rampage.
Going in.
And you don't stop. Yo, my name is D-Nice, although I hate to admit it. Taking out your suckers and you don't know how I did it. See every episode, remains in this mode. Very cool, very calm. There's no sweat in my palm. I just pick up the mic, proceed with a song. I get right to the point. My composition's not long or short. It's like a sport, hanging in the middle. But now if you're puzzled, let me kick the whole riddle. That my name is Derek, and if I didn't mention D-Nice, it's just a description. It describes the kid on the mic. I'm the TR-808, huh? But just call me D-Nice.
Back on the Lance Day Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Sports Talk, and Entertainment Excellence. I would have never thought, back when this came out, I think this was 1990 or 91, D-Nice. I wouldn't have thought that D-Nice would become America's favorite DJ during COVID. Remember D-Nice during COVID? We were all locked up in our houses, and CNN was telling us not to go outside. And if we did go outside, we were wearing masks. We were standing 10 feet away from everyone. And D-Nice would host these huge DJ parties, these club parties on Instagram. And everybody wanted to be at the D-Nice DJ party because we had nowhere else to go. And you had the Versus series, which was really dope. I remember the RZA Versus DJ Premier. That was awesome. But D-Nice was holding it down during that period. I remember Michelle Obama was pulling up. Everybody was pulling up. The who's who. All the beautiful ladies. The Halle Berrys. The Naomi Campbells. Everybody was pulling up at the D-Nice DJ spin. I don't know what he was calling himself. It was Club something. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I really try to forget as much of that era as possible. And I don't remember if he was doing it on Instagram or maybe it was Clubhouse. Remember Clubhouse during the COVID era? We didn't have anything else to do. People were on Clubhouse having these long conversations like it's a group chat, but people are actually tuning in physically to be a part of the group chat. And if I remember correctly, I think that somebody offered the Clubhouse people $1 billion. And I remember back, it's like 2021 or 2020. I was like, yo, you need to take that money, bro. Because COVID's not going to last forever. Eventually, we will be back out going to concerts. We'll be back out going to our kids' soccer games and violin recitals. And people will be back out in the streets, man. Take that money. Go the Tom from MySpace route. That guy sold MySpace for like 600 M's. Which is not a lot of money compared to what Meta and Facebook have become. He's not the richest guy in the world. But if you have 600 M's, and I think Tom from MySpace, he just paints. He just goes out and he paints and he takes pictures. Not a bad life to have 600 M's in your pockets. Back to sports. This story is very interesting to me. This is a short segment. I'm going to apnews.com. A visibly angry Joel Embiid shouted and eventually shoved a Philadelphia newspaper columnist in a locker room altercation after the struggling 76ers lost to the Memphis Grizzlies last Sunday. The NBA quickly said it has opened an investigation into the matter. Embiid took issue with the Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Marcus Hayes, who mentioned the All-Star Center's late brother and his son, both named Arthur, and Colum's questioning Embiid's professionalism. Well, I guess it's not professional to put your hands on somebody. And effort not being in shape after playing in the Paris Olympics. Embiid has yet to play for the 76ers this season. Now, I'm going to pause here. Like I said, this is a short segment. And I've been critical of Joel Embiid before. I think it's ridiculous that he played in the Olympics. He didn't really play that well in the Olympics. And it's ridiculous on many levels because he's not healthy. His job is to be prepared for the Philadelphia 76ers. And then he's not even from the United States of America. So I could see if he grew up in the United States and he grew up with a flag draped around his jersey as a little kid and his dreams were to play in the Olympics, and this might be his only time to play in the Olympics, which he did, and he won a gold medal. But Joel Embiid is consistently out of shape. You can Google things about his diet. He's talked about eating 4 Chick-fil-A sandwiches and 3 Oreo shakes before games. Joel Embiid has come into camp consistently out of shape. He breaks down during the season. He's not able to play a full season. A lot of that is because he's carrying too much weight. I'm not saying that he's fat. He's not fat by typical people standards, but Joel Embiid is not a typical person. He's a superhuman. He's a superior specimen of humanity. He's chiseled out from the Most High himself. When you're 7'1 and can do the things that he does at 275, 280, whatever he weighs, he's special. His DNA is through the roof. And I agree, he does not put the time and the energy into staying in shape. And as you get older, he's in his early 30s now. You see that guys that don't invest in their body, even if it's me, even if it's you listening, if you don't invest in your body, you get older, you're going to have issues. You're going to have more pain. You're going to be less mobile. All of those things. Especially if you're a professional athlete. So criticizing him and the Sixers aren't good. He's not playing. Paul George didn't get his first minutes of action until this week. So I understand. But I will say that as journalists, as people that cover sports, as people that are in the media, there are lines that you can't cross. These media people get out of pocket with it. And writing about somebody's son, writing about their late brother, I see a lot of lines crossed, especially on some of these off-brand podcasts. Everybody has their opinions. There's no journalistic integrity anymore. I don't like to call out Jason Whitlock. I saw Jason Whitlock criticizing Deion Sanders as a human being when Deion Sanders has been very successful this year. I saw Jason Whitlock criticizing LeBron James for going to P. Diddy parties, saying that LeBron James is stupid, saying that LeBron James is illiterate, and that somehow LeBron James is at fault for the fiasco that Sean Combs is dealing with. And I just think if you're a journalist, you're hiding behind the internet. It's not like the old days where you had to confront people, you had to be in the locker rooms. We've kind of moved away from that. I was talking about D-Nice and the COVID era. The COVID era has changed so much. I was doing my show before COVID. I was podcasting before COVID. I was doing sports talk radio on ESPN before COVID. And just to see the proliferation of how journalism and integrity isn't there anymore. People get out of pocket. You got to face somebody that's 7 foot plus almost 3 bills. Good luck with that.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Hey, Hip-hop has been a reflection of culture and society.
That includes stories of struggle
and pain,
social injustice,
racial inequality,
the marginalization of communities.
Today,
we confront a healthcare system
that has been rigged against all of us.
Hospitals force patients to sign contracts for services
without ever showing us actual prices.
Stifling competition,
overcharging without accountability.
And if we can't pay, these same contracts
allow them to take everything we own,
creating so much fear that millions and millions of Americans refuse to enter a hospital,
putting our health and our lives at stake.
This is an American humanitarian crisis.
We love our nurses.
And we need our doctors.
But hospitals and insurers
rigging a system to make profits off of people that's in struggle is unforgivable.
We demand prices
and transparency in healthcare.
How? To the patients.
James Lewis.
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.
Oh, why don't you do that later, Jim? I think the lady expressed herself, and you're not here, you're there. Is there any question you'd like me to ask her?
No, I'll give you lessons on how to become a reporter later.
I'll give you some lessons on how to be an editor, because I was your boss once.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
You were, and are no longer. How did that happen?
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Someone needs to customize and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Wait, there's an elevator?
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
They're here. McDonald's best burgers ever. They're hotter, with the cheese deliciously melted. And they're juicier, with the patties cooked to juicy perfection. Yes, they're tastier, with a pillowy, soft, golden bun. There.
Rubble, rubble.
Looks like we've been hamburgled. These are our best burgers ever.
Rubble, rubble.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.